Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Face Off. Rich Calkins and Keith Gave in studio with you. JC will be joining us in just a little bit, down on assignment at Kirtland Community College. And Keith, the NFL season got kicked off last night with really what turned out to be a pretty exciting game.
I was really surprised it was a good game. I don't have a lot of confidence in Dallas,
right?
Because of that defense mostly, but they played Tampa pretty well in Tampa last night. I thought that was the best game I've ever seen Dak Prescott play. I mean, he was terrific last night, over 400 yards passing. And so neither team could run the ball, right. But they sure could pass it. Ball was just going up and down the field. It looked like the team who had the ball last would win, and yes. It kind of turned out that way, although Dallas did have a couple of seconds left, you know, for the last play. But, you know, two field goals in the final, minute and a half or
right.
so? Tampa won the game. I don't think Tom Brady played very well. But if you remember last year, he started out – he was a little shaky last year. Remember him and Bruce Arians actually kind of got into it a little bit back and forth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Philosophical differences.
It looked a little to me like the Buccaneers were still on a little bit of that Super Bowl hangover. You know, they hardly played their best game, but they won, and that's the most important thing, I guess.
Couple of different points, and you nailed it. Remember, Dak Prescott coming off that compound fracture of that ankle, and he had not played. He didn't play at all during the preseason because he was dealing with the shoulder issue.
Yeah.
So he played very well for not playing in almost an entire year, and he played very well. And the Bruce Arians, the coach, of course, of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was concerned about this Tampa Bay team because of throughout the entire preseason, the lack of focus basically by this team. And it showed four turnovers.
Two interceptions, two drops. You know, there was that one penalty or the one fumble where the guy kind of punched the ball out.
The peanut punch.
I don't like that play.
You don't?
I don't. Just going for the ball and punching it out like that. I can see when you're tackling a guy trying to rip it out of his arms. But that punch, I'd like to see that legislated out of the
peanut
game.
Peanut Tillman from the Chicago Bears made that call. They call it the peanut punch because that's exact. He would come up from his defensive back position, and he would do that.
Just pound
and it's
the ball.
Very successful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's created a lot of fumbles throughout the NFL.
That's right. It's a weapon.
Yeah.
Defensively, that I mean, it's hard enough to run the damn ball and hang on to it. You know, just hang on to it. When you got a guy just coming, not trying to tackle you, but just punch.
Yes.
You know, trying to punch the ball out of your arms. I don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like kind of crossing over a little bit of boxing, mixed martial arts stuff into the football game there for sure.
But four turnovers.
Good for Dallas.
Yeah.
One of those, really Brady, the two interceptions, the running back should have had that. I mean, it bounced right off his hands and then went right to the defender. And the other one was a Hail Mary at halftime, basically. And so he just threw it and they caught it there. So
And there were a lot of drop balls, especially on the on the Tampa side. Some balls right into guys' hands that wound up falling on the ground. Brady didn't play badly, I didn't think.
Right, even though the stats show percentage-wise maybe he didn't have a high quarterback rating or a completion percentage.
Right.
But like you said, there were probably five or six balls that should have been caught that weren't.
And remember the last series when they were just bleeding time off the clock? He threw the ball 40 yards out of bounds. Three times in a row.
That's right.
0-for-3 there. That'll screw up your percentage, too. He didn't care. He wanted to win the game.
He didn't care. Exactly. Yeah. He's a bottom line guy. Did he get the W? Yes, he did.
Yep.
Dak Prescott had the better stats, but they both have very good receiving cores, both of those teams.
Well, you talk about lack of focus. Didn't seem to be much of a lack of focus between him and Rob Gronkowski. Eh?
No.
Holy smokes.
Those guys.
Eight for eight, I think. Eight targets, eight receptions, two touchdowns for Gronkowski.
And I think now that those two have hooked up for 100 touchdowns 100 touchdowns. Yeah. I mean, you know what it's like. I mean, it's crazy how hard it is to score one touchdown in the NFL.
Yeah.
Those two have combined for 100.
Yeah.
That's just that's absolutely right. Amazing.
With two different teams, too, now.
Yeah.
That's pretty,
yes,
you're right.
Exactly.
You're right. Some different things in the NFL this year. Does the change in the numbering system bother you at all, you know, with anybody being able to wear low numbers now?
It's going to take some getting used to because a couple of times I would see a defensive back or a linebacker, number 7, come flying.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, I'm used to that in the college game.
Exactly.
The college game, you've had those single numbers at any position. It could you could be a defensive lineman and wear number 1 or number 2 and things like that. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment. But I personally, it doesn't bother me to have anybody to have whatever number they want so they're not pigeonholed into, oh, say if you're a linebacker, oh, you got to be in the 50s. And that's your numbers. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it used to be.
I'm not a hardcore traditionalist, you know.
Yeah, I'm
in
not
football,
either.
Football, baseball, I am. You know, so that didn't bother me so much because, like you said, I'm used to it in college football.
Right.
It doesn't bother me what numbers they wear. I really don't care. But to a lot of people, and I mean, Brady was outspoken about that when it first happened, said the NFL's a bunch of idiots for, you know, allowing this to happen.
Right.
You know, it's just changing the game. Well, I don't know if it's going to change that much for us, for fans.
Right. And then, and I think part of it, Keith, too, I tend to be along the same lines as you as far as the baseball, because that's a sport where numbers mean something. The stats are so, there's so much attention, so much value added to the stats of baseball.
Right.
In football, not nearly. I mean, they're important, but yet not nearly as much. I mean, I can't quote you how many yards somebody threw in this.
Sure.
But baseball stats, they always, it's such a stat-driven game.
Yeah, it sure is. Anything else you noticed last night? One thing, a couple things going on in the NFL that we have to be mindful of. The taunt police are back.
Yes, right? I see that.
They announced that they're in August. I think that they're gonna crack down on that. And they've done this before. You know, it's like the officials have to turn into like junior high dance chaperones, right?
Don't get too close. Yeah,
exactly. you know, put one some space between.
Right. Exactly.
And there was, I think, I saw one call last night. Was there more than one? There was one call.
That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, they kind of made a little statement.
And how I feel about that personally, I don't mind people with a little bit of celebration here and there, but I definitely don't like in your face taunting type stuff. That's not my way of playing the game or whatever. I was never a big guy into that type stuff, like talking trash and all that. So,
well, the officials are going to be flagging players for baiting or taunting acts or words, for abusive or threatening or insulting language or gestures. They could call taunting after every play in that league, Rich.
I know it. Because they're chirping all the time.
It never stops.
It never stops.
But, you know, I'm straddling this line between, and there's a lot of that stuff like, I'm like you, I don't like it. You know, I don't like to see it and so on. At the same time, it's an emotional game. And you got to let the players have a little bit of fun, too.
It's so physical.
The celebrations in the end zone and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm all for that.
You know, the icky shuffle and all that silly stuff.
As long as it's reasonable.
Go. Yeah,
you know, right.
Let them go.
Absolutely.
And I don't care if they take off their helmet or anything like that.
Oh, no.
You know, like, come on.
No. I mean, that's the game that, I mean, a lot of times you don't even know what these guys look like because they're so protected with their pads, with their helmets. You have no idea, where most other sports, you can see what they are, their facial expressions, their everything.
I mean, if I'm the NFL, I'm wanting these guys to take off their helmets, even in college football as well. You know, I mean, you get flagged for taking off your helmet, you know, in the end zone and walking to the sidelines. That's silly.
It is silly. Absolutely. Especially, I mean, you could see the sweat pouring off their faces. Tampa, area you're familiar with, Keith. And right now down there, the humidity was over 8. It was just brutal. And it showed early in that game.
Hey, another thing that's we have to look for in changes in the NFL, it looks like they're going to call more offensive holding, too. It was down last year quite significantly, and as a result, scoring was up. They're cracking back down on it again. There were several calls last night, offensive holding.
Yeah.
And that's gonna have an effect in the long run.
It is, absolutely. You know, again, it goes back to, as long as those offensive linemen kind of keep their hands within, they can even kind of grab the defensive player's jersey inside tight quarters. Once those arms get extended or they hook a player, mm-hmm. things like that, Keith, then it's an obvious one. You have to call that.
Yeah, New York Times has a pretty good story about that. Last year, offensive penalties dipped from 3.6. per game to 2.6 per game.
Oh, wow.
And as a result, scoring was up significantly, all-time high, 24.8 points per game per team. So, but you know what? But I predict this almost like the NHL when they say they're going to crack down on hooking and holding and all that. You know, it lasts about a month or so, the taunting penalties and also the off, till the players adjust. And fans and teams start bitching about it.
Right.
It'll last about a month, and then it'll go back to kind of the old
because
ways.
The NFL will receive feedback. Oh, there's no
time.
Question
big
about
time.
It. Yeah. And, of course, how do fans control situations? By end up, you know what I mean, by saying, look, we're not going to – we don't like this. Yeah. This is a horrible rule change. It needs to go back to the way it was. And so, again, as we live in this Twitterverse now, Keith, where you get instant feedback immediately. And it's always – interesting to see how those things come about. But I do tend to agree that after a month, things will kind of level out a little bit.
Right.
And I think it'll go back. Remember, it was pass interference a couple years ago was the big, the point of contention. And we're going to really pay close attention. These receivers need to, you know, they want more scoring. They want more offense. And they love that stuff, of course.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out what pass interference is. There was a play late in the game where the Tampa player clearly pushed off, made a really important catch to put him in field position.
It was that last scoring drive.
Non-call to change the game. Yeah, non-call to change the game. I'm kind of okay with that, you know, as long as they're consistent, but it's the consistency that...
Because to me, it actually happened against Jordan Lewis, who was a former Michigan defensive back. He was the defender, of course. And they were both of them, it looked like all the way down, were hand fighting the whole way.
Yep.
So with them both having their hands on each other, I have no problem. If no one had had their hands, and then all of a sudden the offensive player will extend that hand to create the space, then that's different. But the hand fighting was happening the entire time. No big deal to me whatsoever, Keith.
If last night's game was any indication about what we have to look forward to, it's going to be a fun NFL season.
It certainly is.
I don't know about here in Detroit, but it's going to be fun everywhere else.
It's funny you should say that, Keith. talking about our beloved Detroit Lions, most prognosticators got them not doing so well this year, an obvious rebuild in Detroit. Yeah. But there are certain parts of this team that appear to be pretty decent. But there's a lot of it that are going to be interesting, new, and see what kind of how they respond to a real fiery coach in Dan Campbell.
Yeah, absolutely. And what parts do you think might be decent, Rich? I'm struggling.
In theory, again, the offensive line is supposed to be a good unit. The running backs
but the offensive line is supposed to be pretty good, but now Taylor Decker's out for the first game of the season, and they're taking Penei Sewell, who was apprenticing at right guard all training camp. Now they're going to put him at left guard in place of Taylor Decker.
I didn't realize that Taylor, he's been ruled out for the game. I know he didn't practice.
Well, he's listed as questionable.
Oh, okay.
Nobody's expecting him to play. He's got a broken finger or something, right?
Yeah.
So he's questionable to doubtful. I hope he plays. But, you know, you get the rookie you're going to plug in at left tackle after he's been playing the entire training camp at right tackle, learning that position.
And
not
he's
a
played,
recipe for success.
He's played left tackle his whole life.
He did,
and
yes.
He's had a tough time adjusting to right tackle because the footwork is totally different. It's opposite of what you've trained your entire life at.
Yep.
So he's so used to, like, pivoting and dropping that left foot back to defend, you know, in pass protection. And so for him to do it the opposite way, it really is different for these 330-pound men. You know, he's basically a dancing bear.
Yeah.
And for them to change like that, Keith, and do some things. But the
offensive line should be a strength of this team. I get that. Yeah. They should run the ball a little bit better.
Right.
We don't know about Jared Goff much yet because he's got nobody to throw to.
Other than, okay, and the concerning point starting this year, right, also been beaten up has been our best running back, DeAndre Swift. Right. And T.J. Hawkinson hasn't played at all, I don't think, because he's been hurt.
Right.
So two of our offensive weapons, which we don't have a lot of weapons on offense at all.
Right.
Like you said, our receiving core is probably the worst in the NFL this year. Because there's no, I can't even name anybody. The rookie from USC, our fourth round pick, I think, is the only guy I'm reasonably familiar with. And so, and both of those guys, so it doesn't look great. Totally unknown. We have the youngest defensive backfield in the NFL.
Right.
That's concerning.
Young, but fairly deep. They're turning that position. Used to be a position of weakness for many years. But
many years.
It's becoming a strength of this team, the defensive backfield.
How does Jeff Okudah respond after a tough rookie season last year and end up being injured and was put on IR, missed over half the season with that injury? But that, there's a lot of pressure on him with being, you know, a top five pick a year ago.
Yeah. And they got the Niners coming in. Pretty good football team.
Very good football
team. 7.5-point favorites, I think, right?
Yes. Joey Bosa and that defensive line is one of the better ones in the NFL. Yep. Maybe second to probably Washington football team.
Right.
You know. Also, Keith, you had mentioned you did a little research. There was some new information that came out about the worth of the NFL football teams.
NFL football team values. A sports business publication called Sportico released a list of values of NFL teams. Not surprising to see the Dallas Cowboys at the top. But, boy.
Wait, and how much are they worth?
$6.9 billion. Oh. That's B, billion.
That Jerry Jones, he's a businessman.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the New England Patriots are next at $5.4 billion. That's $1.5 billion between one and two. Those are the only two teams above, $5
billion. Okay.
Another six or so in between four and $5 billion. Dead last among the NFL's 32 teams, actually tied with the Cincinnati Bengals, are the Detroit Lions at a paltry $2.4 billion.
That's it? That's all they're worth is $2.4
billion? $2.4
billion. Hmm.
But you know what? We shouldn't spill any tears for the Ford family, right?
No, I think they're doing okay.
William Clay Ford closed the deal to buy the Detroit Lions on the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
That's right.
November 22nd, 1963. And he paid $6
million. $6 million.
$6 million. So that's a 400 times increase in their investment.
I think it's turned out.
Yeah.
They're
making money. And frankly, it's that equity you have in your business. They don't care whether they win or lose the Ford family. They really don't. We've known that for, decades and decades, right?
Absolutely.
Sheila Ford Hamp is talking a good game now. The new new owner, head of the family ownership of that team. Now, and I think she's doing a lot of good things. I'm excited about Dan Campbell. You know,
coach. I am too.
We talk about. I think you mentioned some strengths. I think the huge weakness is the defense of this team. That's it's going to take a couple years to retool, and I worry about offensive teams like San Francisco coming in and really, really lighting it up against this defense. But I think they're going to play with an attitude. They're going to be at times really fun to watch, and they can chomp on some knees, when they get knocked on the ground, all that kind of stuff. I love that, but we have to be patient. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel with this team, this regime now. Brad Holmes, the general manager, seems like he knows what he's doing. You got people advising the management team, like Chris Spielman and Barry Sanders, and so on.
Right.
I'm going to be optimistic.
I think, and too, with a coach like Dan Campbell, definitely more relatable to the players after having the last, what, 4 years or 3 years of a coach that wasn't relatable, that kept that distance, was always, was degrading to players, trying to chat, would tear them down and then maybe try to build them up. Yep. Well, that doesn't always work in today's world. Right. You can't tear the old military days of the 40s and 50s and things like that. It's a different world in football.
He gets that. He gets that, too. He played the game pretty high level here in Detroit, and I agree with you. And I also look forward to, I think his post-game press conferences are going to be as entertaining as the games themselves.
Absolutely. You definitely have to tune into those because he's dropping everything. I mean, Keith, it's just, you never know what he's going to say. He is just like, holy cow, anything could come out of his mouth. And so there'll have to be like a 4 second delay with a buzzer there and a beeper there to delay some of the language. But he cracks me up.
It's so rare in sports these days. You ask a guy a question, you better be ready for the answer because it might not be something you even remotely expect.
Right. That's exactly
I love that
right.
about him.
Yeah, you have to have those recorders going because when you take it back to your office, Keith, and you got to play it back, you're like, did he really say that? Yeah. And so you have to play that back. It's going to be really interesting.
So how do you like this game Sunday? Can Lions get close enough to cover that 7.5?
I don't think so. Yeah. For a long time, Keith, I've been a Kool-Aid drinker of the Lions and really was very optimistic and things. And I actually like what they're doing. I like the overall vision of this team and all that. Yeah. But I think it's going to be a long year. And I do think that they'll probably lose by 13 is kind of my estimate.
Like that. Yeah.
I
have a hard time seeing them cover as well. I do think, what's the over in this game? Like 4, was it 40?
Is that what it is? I don't know.
No, 45.
45.
45 is the total.
Okay.
I like the over a lot. I think the Lions can score a little bit, and I think the 49ers are going to score a lot.
A lot. So,
But, you know, total wins at the end of the season, I see people picking from 3 to 5.
Yes.
5 on the high side, 3 on the low side. I think those numbers are pretty fair.
Four or five, I think, is
what we should expect.
I've got them at 3 and 14 was my pick. That was what I thought. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope this team comes out and shocks the world.
Heads up.
Hey, look who's back.
JC, how you doing?
I'm great. You should see Kirtland Community College. It is amazing. The event center there is nicer. It's a hell of a lot nicer than the high school gym that I grew up in, and that's a good gym. But
good deal. Good deal.
The Lions and the Niners. I haven't even looked at the bets, but I can tell you this much right now. Whatever the player prop is for George Kittle tomorrow on Sunday, take the over in the yards and take the biggest problem that I see with the Detroit Lions is the linebacker's inability to cover.
Yeah.
And this is the design of this defense. So, everything that we see, I mean, the linebackers have some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't cover, then you're in for a long afternoon. You saw, look at how big Gronkowski went yesterday.
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah.
You got Kittle and T.J. Hockenson, both from Iowa, right?
Yeah, they're best friends.
Yep.
Anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about the NFL and the schedule of games. We've got college to cover. Got a little bit of Detroit Tigers, Cabrera. Seven hits in his last 8 at-bats. So lots to talk about here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Open for business for NFL. Any NFL bet you can come up with.
See.
Do not be alarmed. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Open for gaming, dining, and sports booking. And we'll continue a little bit, guys. I can't believe you could come up with 20 minutes on the Detroit Lions. Kudos to you.
We talk more NFL than the Lions in general.
it was a great football game. Kudos to Dak Prescott.
I should say.
Whew.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if the Tampa Bay defense had played much. You know, they looked good. He was under a lot of duress, but what did they only sack? They only sacked him once, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it was, coming off, and we had talked about it a little bit, coming off that compound fracture of his ankle, that shoulder issue he developed through training camp.
58 throws last night.
Yeah. He didn't even play a snap in the preseason this year. So he hasn't played in a full year, and he looked really good.
Brady didn't look bad either.
Oh, no. No.
No, he didn't. But I said earlier, it kind of looked like Tampa had still that little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. He did throw two interceptions. I know they were mitigating circumstances, but
he didn't throw two interceptions. I mean, the receivers completely bobbled ball.
Well, they dropped a lot.
And they dropped.
And I think that really needs to be a stat that needs to be looked at in the NFL. When your wide receiver ball, same thing happened to Dallas, hits the receiver right in the hands and goes to somebody else, that should be an interception on the wide receiver. It really should. So Brady had a magnificent game, if you ask me, and so did Gronkowski. But I agree with you. I thought they were – nobody ran the football. What the hell's going on?
Oh, no. Two good running backs on each side, and one had 33, one had 30, something like that.
Ezekiel Elliott is the highest-paid blocking running back.
He picked up a couple of blitzes,
That's what I'm saying. He did a great job in saving Dak Prescott's hide.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
10 carries, 30 yards.
Yeah. Going through a few games for coming up on Sunday, just for you betting types, there's a few games that I really like here. I think the Steelers' demise is the documentation of it is one thing. The actual happening of it is another, especially with T.J. Watt coming in.
Yeah.
With all that dollars, I bet you Jared Allen's like, damn! The Steelers are getting 6.5 from those Bills. I like that, even though they're on the road.
A lot of people are picking Pittsburgh to win that game outright.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
Buffalo is, I don't care what the weather's like, one of the best home field advantages in football. That should be a great, great football game. I like the Jags a ton, giving 3 to the absolutely, thank God the Texans are around so the Lions don't have the worst record in football. I think that, they just got rid of their two best players in draft. So I like the Titans are playing the Cardinals. And the Titans are giving them 3 at home, but I love the over there. I think that's going to be a score fest. I like the over 52 points there. I like the Colts getting 3.5 at home against the Seahawks. The Seahawks have to convince me that they're a real football team. There's a lot of talk out there.
Right.
They're great at home. You look at their record on the road, it's atrocious. And I think Wentz will play good. I think the Colts will run the football and play good defense, and I like them getting the points. The two bets that I really like, guys, the Pats are giving 3 to the Dolphins at home. Mm-hmm. Tua Tagovailoa, or whatever you want to call it, is still essentially a rookie. So, I think that Belichick will have a field day against those Dolphins. That's, obviously these are professional guesses. But the bet of the day on Sunday is the Carolina Panthers giving 3.5 to the Jets. I think the Jets blow. And Carolina is one of my surprise teams for this year. I think Darnold will have a good year. If McCaffrey stays healthy, Matt Rhule could have been coach of the year last year, Rich.
He's a good coach.
He's a very good coach. And so that's my bet of the day.
Taking Carolina to cover.
Giving 3.5 to the Jets at home in Carolina.
That's a fascinating bet for sure. Yeah, Jets starting that rookie quarterback and
with an uneven offensive line. Tell me their weapons. Tell me who their running back is. Tell me who their wide receivers are.
Have no idea.
Yeah.
Right. No, and he's that quarterback's not very big. I mean, he's not.
He looks good.
He does. Oh, he can fling the ball.
You know how much I loved BYU last year.
Yes.
We were talking about BYU on this program every week. But that's what I have looking at this Sunday. NFL Week 1 is here. Is your fridge stocked? Is the recliner ready? Now all you need to do is log on to FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. FanDuel is giving all customers a risk-free bet just in time for week one of the NFL season.
Choose from moneyline bets, over-under, prop bets, same-game parlay. Use FanDuel Sportsbook on any week one game. Bet the money line or take the over. Throw some action on a prop bet or build a same-game parlay bet.
There are so many ways to play. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use and pays you fast when you win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with the promo code WGRY to also receive the risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager owner. Only. Refund issued is non-refundable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. We'll be back here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City, Petoskey, with our look at the college football schedule. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith, Gabe, and Rich Calkins. And guys, we have a week or 2 weeks, depending on how you want to look at it, of college football under our bets. General impressions? I know what yours is.
I was shocked at how well Michigan State played at Northwestern last week, winning on the road, winning decisively on the road. They found a running back, Kenneth Walker.
Lo and behold.
Yeah. The transfer from Wake Forest. And suddenly Michigan State looks like a real Big Ten team.
It didn't take long for him to introduce himself to Spartan fans. Said the very first play from scrimmage, he ran for 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Well, guys, let's face facts. That Northwestern defense is one of the slowest defenses I have seen in a long time. Remember how they used to talk about the difference between the Big Ten and the SEC is
right.
Speed?
Yes. Right.
You know, Michigan defenses used to be like that. You know, they weren't
That's
fast.
Right.
They would hit you really
right.
hard.
Very
That's
physical.
Right.
But
That's
they
right.
gave
Slower.
You know, they were the team that gave up the most third and tens, yep, or third and 15s in history.
Yep.
And the bigger schools at the Big Ten have addressed that.
Yep.
That Northwestern defense, we could have beat them in a track meet.
That did not look like a typical Pat Fitzgerald team.
No,
for
sure.
A
few weeks.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, but and I'm not saying anything. Yes, Walker was extraordinarily impressive. We won't get anything this coming Saturday except for him running for another 265 yards
against Youngstown State.
I don't see an Appalachian State incident coming here in this football game.
No. I don't.
But then they got Miami next week, so we'll
see.
Then
I
we'll
agree.
See. Yeah.
Yep.
But you know, kudos to them. You know, I think Mel Tucker. We've heard a lot from George Blaha about how much Tucker reminds him of Nick Saban, and he was on Saban's staff as a grad assistant. Maybe George, who usually is more right than we think,
that's right,
is
right. You know, give Mel Tucker credit for making over this team. He came in late, remember, last year. He inherited a team that wasn't very good. He got rid of about 25 players in the transfer portal. He brought in 20 transfers, 20 freshmen that he's dealing with trying to build a football program.
It's early in the season, but that's one of the things that has stood out to me is how you can potentially change your program in 1 year because of that transfer portal.
Well, you know, and I don't think they're going to change the rules. They just can't allow kids to do it year to year.
Right. Yeah,
I mean,
you can't be hopping.
You are allowed. Yeah, if you transfer again, you got to sit a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, or it's just going to be the Wild West.
That's right.
The Spartans, I give Spartans a lot of credit. That, you know, Rizzo looked good.
Yeah.
He seemed to be the right game manager for them. We'll see, you know, the Spartans' fortunes are looking up. You know, and Michigan played a very good football game against a good Western offense, for sure. That Western offense is going to score a lot of points. They came out of the box, scored a quick touchdown. Michigan made a lot of adjustments.
They did.
And shut that offense down. But, you know, It just seems like this always happens to Michigan in the, you know, so they lose Ronnie Bell.
I know.
Yeah. You know, yeah. That's not going to help.
Always a good news, bad news scenario with them. You know, the good news, they play like for the first quarter and a half, it was a close ball game. And then Michigan got rolling and things changed and our fortune changed. And like you said, JC, just that unfortunate injury to Ronnie Bell, their best receiver and their most dynamic player. And man, that's just tough.
Watching that game. I had the first feeling I've had in a long, long time that this looks like a real Michigan football team. It just felt like, here we go.
You know, Aiden Hutchinson is going to dealt with. Yeah. Oh, if you're not dealing with him, then you've got your problems. Go ahead, Keith. I know you got something to say.
No. It kind of felt good to see that they had their ducks in a row. They played like a traditional Michigan football team. They took care of business fairly easily against, like you said, a pretty good Western Michigan team.
And it was good to see all the fans there, too. I wasn't sure how the Michigan fans would show up. I didn't know if there would be,
They were loud.
And they made a lot of noise.
Yeah, I was shocked. They were like, man.
Caged animals, finally.
All that pent up, whatever,
They've got a very interesting matchup tonight that you will be able to, or Saturday night that you'll be able to hear on our Up North Sports Radio network. And that's the Washington Huskies, who had a lot of high expectations. Maybe they were looking a little forward to U of M misplacing the Montana Grizzlies.
Right.
And they got beat.
They did. So, shockingly.
Michigan is very fortunate they're playing them at home. If Michigan was traveling out there after it would not be a 6.5-point game, Rich. I'll tell you that.
No, for sure.
So I will be interested. I mean, there's going to be a lot of interest on this particular game. It's a nationally televised game on ESPN. We'll see, what Harbaugh and the staff, because I'm not calling this football team Jim Harbaugh's football team anymore. With all these assistants, with the Mike Harts and the Bellamy's and the McDonald's, a lot of high praise for McDonald against that Western Michigan offense, making adjustments on the fly.
Yep.
As opposed to the Don Brown defense, we're doing it my way.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Especially.
It's better.
Right.
A first time play caller on the defensive side. I mean, McDonald.
He's a kid.
He's a young guy. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's just, it was. I thought he did a great job in adjusting to what Western
this
was
doing. This game Saturday would be the 10th time. They played under the lights at Michigan Stadium.
It's only ten times total.
Will be the 10th time.
I was at the first one when the Irish came to town.
Yeah,
yep.
I was at that.
Yep. And Jerry, Michigan came back and scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win it. It was awesome.
But had Washington won?
Well, I guess they call them. I've been at plenty of Michigan games where the lights were on, but they didn't start under the lights. When they have a 4 o'clock
start. Yeah.
Then, those lights are on in the second half. Yeah. So that's, I guess, what my disorientation to that stat is.
But imagine if Washington had won. You know, they were ranked 20 to start going in. They'd be, 18, 17, 16, somewhere in there, coming to Michigan after this would be a real marquee game. And now in Michigan's damned if you do and damned if you don't. You better win this game. You better win impressively.
You better be ready because I think the Huskies are obviously going to be chomping at the bit. I mean, that's one of those humiliating losses that you just can't make as a program. You know, Montana.
The SEC not playing this week? I don't see one.
They start usually they've already with Bama. Yeah, that's shocking.
I don't see a Bama game, a Georgia game, or anything on the schedule. Are they not playing this week?
They start. See, traditionally, they would start almost 2 weeks after everybody else would get going.
The only SEC team that I see playing is Mississippi State. Arkansas is playing. Texas A&M is playing Colorado. Here's Georgia.
Okay.
Georgia's playing UAB. I don't see Alabama on the schedule, though.
By the way, Jerry, I have to mention this. How impressive were your UCLA Bruins against LSU? They looked like the SEC team. They were the most physical team on that field that day. And you know how the Pac-10, Pac-12, how traditionally they play a finesse kind of game? Good for UCLA. That was a big win for them.
They are off this week. The Bruins are off this week. There are some interesting football games, though, on the schedule. The OSU game, they're giving 14.5 to Oregon, who is the presumptive Pac-12 champion. It's going to either be them or USC or maybe my Bruins.
Right.
But it's all up in the air. This game, they have got no chance to win if
Thibodeau doesn't play.
Yeah, who is in the top five candidates for the Heisman. And you saw the destruction that he did before he hurt his ankle.
I know it. He absolutely.
He cannot be blocked.
He can't. He cannot be blocked. I mean, he created a fumble. He's a terror out there. They put him in that walking boot immediately, and hopefully it was just a sprain, and he can go full tilt this week. But that would be a real bummer. That would certainly slide things in OSU's favor.
Well, right now, Oregon's getting 14.5. I would like that bet if Thibodeau is going to be playing and at full strength. The other game, guys, that I'm really interested in is Iowa versus Iowa State.
Oh, yeah. That's 9 versus 10.
Well, I think that's the first time they've ever played where they were both ranked, certainly both ranked in the top 10.
Yes.
I really like Iowa here. They're getting 4.5. That game is always, even when Iowa was super strong, you'd see them lose to an Iowa State team that wasn't nearly as heralded.
Yep.
We'll see how much Iowa State buys into their own press clippings, Keith.
Yeah, no kidding. Where is that game? At Iowa?
Iowa State.
It's at Iowa State?
Because if it was at Iowa, Iowa would be favored.
They're always
favored at home. Yeah. I don't get Alabama comes into town and they're not giving away too much.
And Iowa played well last week, too.
They look good.
Yeah.
They look good. It's a good Iowa football team. So, yeah.
That's a glimpse of the Big Ten future if Iowa State comes into the Big Ten one day.
Well, you saw your four guys, the four teams did declare for the Big 12.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, maybe they should call it the Big 8 and the Medium 4, whatever, I don't know. We'll see. More to come here on College Football when we return here on Friday Face-Off. We'll talk about the Tigers. We'll tee up a little talk with the guys from the Record Eagle Sports Department. That and more on Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And guys, I don't know if you just heard that spot. Legends North is a business partner of ours that they have a huge retail outlet in Grand Rapids with, cards and signed memorabilia and everything else. They opened up a brand new place on Garfield in Traverse City. And if you stop in there you don't have to buy anything. You get a raffle ticket, and they're going to give away 4 tickets right behind home plate, row number 1.
Whoa.
Very cool.
At Comerica Park on September 26th, so the last week of the season. And I don't know if you've ever sat right behind home plate, but it is an experience like nothing else.
Yeah.
It's the coolest.
Yeah.
That's an awesome gift there, for sure.
Yeah, so like I said, stop in there. Grab your raffle ticket. You might be getting the phone call. And I paid a premium. I had seats that I shared with a whole bunch of guys. I got like 11 games. We were 6 rows behind home plate. It is so cool.
Those seats are so good. The other major league scouts are sitting behind you.
Yeah. No. And they can hear you in the opposing dugout.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, because I was screaming at Ozzie Guillen once. I'm like, Ozzie, let's get a truck after the game. And he's like, look.
He said, why wait till after the game?
Yeah, what's Miggy doing?
Right. And also, maybe, just maybe, they'll get a chance to see Miguel Cabrera get his 3,000th hit.
How about that?
What's he down to now?
He's got 2,971 hits. He's 29 shy of 3,000 with 21 games left. I didn't think this was remotely possible.
He wants it, guys.
Oh,
he's starting to sniff it now.
He does. He does.
What did he get? He's what? He went 3 for 3
the night before and 4 for 4.
So it's 7 in a row.
7 for 7 in the last 2 games.
Yes.
He went hitting with authority. He hit a long double to his first at bat, knocked in a run, knocked in 3 runs actually in the last game. They finally beat Pittsburgh, by the way. But you're right, JC. He smells it.
That swing looks like old Miggy. That inside out swing.
Well, and you know what? Right, and he's not going for home runs now.
Nope.
No.
So
nope.
He's getting in the box. He knows he's going to see 1 or 2 pitches that he can make a base hit with.
Yep.
And I haven't looked up the odds. They've got to be floating around somewhere. Whether he makes 3,000 this year or not. So I will guarantee you that I will find those, and I'll have them ready for you guys next week.
Yeah. Pretty good pitching staff coming in to Comerica Park with Tampa Bay, though. You know, they're one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Miggy's going to have his work cut out for him, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Just very briefly, you know, the Yankees, after winning 13 in a row, have lost 11 out of the last 14.
Wow.
And the Blue Jays are right there now. This is going to be a crazy last couple weeks of the season.
The Blue Jays just sweep them?
A four-game sweep at Yankee Stadium. The first time since 1920, the Yankees lost a four-game series in New York without ever once leading any of the four games.
Wow.
Jesus.
Oh. Wow.
They've got some injuries. They got pitching staff issues up the kazoo.
Yeah.
Wow.
That breaks my heart.
Though, like you said, JC, they had been playing so well, riding high. What an emotional roller coaster this has been for them to be playing so well. Looks like they're definitely in on the playoffs, just on a roll here, and then to not only get swept, but to be playing it really as poorly as they have been the last 15 games.
By the way, we should also, I'm talking about the Tigers hitters, Robbie Grossman had a hell of a game the other night, too. Four hits, including his 22nd home run. He's been a really nice addition to that outfield, eh?
Just really like that guy. Hinch loves him because of how hard he works every day.
James, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you? James Cook's joining us from the Record Eagle Sports Department. Before we get into localized sports, James, what do you think the chances are that Cabrera gets 3,000 hits before the end of this year? 29 hits to go in 21 games.
It's going to be a tough ask. I mean, he can do it. He's been coming on the second half of the season. So it's possible, but I wouldn't put a lot of money on it.
All he needs is two more games like he just had here. Yeah,
right.
You go 7-for-7 in two games, and your odds are improved greatly.
Definitely.
Well, you're talking about a guy that won, what, four batting titles, the last major crown winner, you know, he's as locked in as we've seen him in 10 years.
Yep.
So when you've got somebody as talented as Miguel Cabrera on the cusp of being able to do something that no one has ever done in baseball and quite probably no one will ever do.
You're talking about 500 home runs and 3,000 hits in the same
year.
Yeah. And this is what Mike Ilitch had in mind when he signed him to that massive contract a long time ago.
That's a great point, Keith, that, you know, people that have been moaning the fact of this contract.
And I'm one of them.
Oh, well, look at this.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
you can bet that for the remainder of the season at Comerica Park, people are going to show up.
Well, I guess I'll have to look at the schedule. Are the last three games at home or on the road?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to look that up. Yeah. James, what's going on this week in the Record Eagle Sports? What are you guys tracking?
I've just been loving these Thursday night football games the last 3 weeks. We had one moved up last night from Friday to Thursday because of referee shortage. So I got to go cover a bonus football game of Lake City at Manton, and so it's always a good night when you can get in some extra football.
Right, and that looks like Lake City dominated that game, James.
Yeah, it was 24-0. You know, Manton put together some good drives. They just had a few fumbles here and there, and things like that. And so it was a little closer than the score indicates. But you know, overall, pretty competitive game. Defense is kind of held sway in that game for the most part. Lake City just put together a couple nice drives in the second half to pull away from that one, and you know, we're able to get that shutout win and move to 3-0 in a battle of two teams that were 2-0 coming into that game.
Last five games of the Tigers on the road. Three at the Twins, two at the White Sox.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Okay. So, anyways, just a sidetrack there. So, who are the highlight games for you guys tonight, James?
Well, the big one is Traverse City West at Cadillac, I think. You know, those are two of the three teams that everybody is looking at in the Big North Conference race. And
broadcast on 106.3 FM.
Yep. So it's kind of an early game to see maybe who gets a step up in that race and who gets kind of knocked down a peg a bit in that race for the Big North Conference. So.
Yeah, not an opportunity for West to look forward, Rich, to the Patriot game next week.
Absolutely, yeah. West has won the last seven meetings here, and as we've talked to Coach Cody Mallory a couple of times, JC, you and I, the past couple of weeks, he really wants this game in the worst way, and he's going to have his team ready.
Yeah, I mean, West is in for a dogfight. What are they called? That's going to be an old slobber knocker game, yeah, here, Rich.
And of course it's at Veterans Memorial Field, right on Lake Cadillac down there. A beautiful setting. It's going to be a great game.
Great weather. Yeah,
yes.
You'll be in there with your short sleeves and your shorts.
I will be. Oh yeah, sporting the Blarney Stone attire.
What else, James? Besides the West Cadillac game.
There's a whole good slate of games. We've also got the Ironman race coming up this weekend on Sunday over in Frankfurt. So if you're not looking for high school stuff, you've got that can draw some pretty good crowds as well over there.
84-year-old man competing in
the tourist season a week.
Unbelievable. An 84-year-old man is competing in that.
That is unbelievable.
That is totally
unbelievable. I couldn't do that.
I walked 18 holes at Oakland Hills, and I'm still feeling it.
Oh my God. I mean, and like you said, Jim, that's a true Ironman. That's crazy, the mileages that they put in for this.
Yeah,
they'll
be putting
him
in an iron lung
water
after that. Well,
it's like Al Whiting doing the the long race, marathon.
So are you going to cover that a little bit too, James? You're going to go out to Frankfurt?
We'll have Andrew is going to be out there in Frankfurt at the Ironman. I'll be at the Cadillac West game tonight.
Well, stop in and say hi to Rich and Tom.
Yeah, a couple times last few weeks.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we ran into each other. Yeah, down at U of M, introduced myself to him. And since we'd been talking to him for weeks, I thought he'd,
Don't put him on the air.
Put this face on the radio with the radio. And
that's right.
Yep.
No, he probably, if he's got a face for radio, well, he's welcome.
Right. We'll be twins then.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A face for video and a voice for print.
There we go.
You can put that on your business
card. That's a
good one. James, very briefly, what do you got on the get around?
We haven't decided. We're going to kind of wait till after the football games and what goes on this weekend, who we're going to try to get on for the guests. Last week we had Everest Noyes from the Traverse City Central soccer team. He also kicks for the football team. So the first 2 weeks of the season, he's pulled double duty where they've had a soccer game and a football game the same day in different towns. So he's been a busy guy. So that went pretty well last week. And then this week we're still looking forward to what we're going to do, depending on what kind of happens tonight.
Should have that kid be running the Ironman on Sunday. He's probably not busy enough.
Yeah.
All right, James. We'll make sure to check out the Get Around and all of the great sports reporting at the Traverse City Record Eagle. Thanks for joining us, bud.
No problem. Thank you.
Keith.
Did you hear the NFL is back?
What?
And FanDuel.
What is NFL
stand
for?
The NFL is back.
No fun league.
And yes. FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with a 40-1 on any week one game. Who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? This is no Hail Mary. It's simple. New customers get a 40-1 odds when you place your first wager. The app is so easy to use. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours.
To get you started, here's what I'm taking with my week one risk-free bet. And, JC, I'm a...
Carolina, New York Jets. I like the Panthers giving 3 to the Jets.
That's right. That was his bet of the day. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. See, you can see yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app.
Yeah, guys, when you want to sign up, if you haven't done it yet, then you need to go to FanDuel.com, sign up, and use the promo code WGRY, and you could win $200 on a $5 bet. That's promo code WGRY exclusively on the FanDuel Sports app. Guys, and on top of that, they have fantasy sports there, so if you're a fantasy football player, you could assemble your roster week to week, challenge other people, win money that way, Rich. You've got same-game parlays. Yeah. There is a ton of ways to really enjoy your football. And if you're a DirecTV guy and you've lost CBS, so there's no football game on like me, I guess I'll be way more involved on FanDuel.
No kidding. 21 and over and present in Michigan. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $200. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Anything left for you, Keith?
I got one thing. We haven't talked about it yet. The next week at this time, the Prospects Tournament will be going on in Traverse City, the Red Wings. Only five teams this year, JC, instead of the typical eight. I have to talk to Steve Eisman to find out why. I got to believe it's pandemic-related. But anyways, and also some news broke in the last few days that the NHL has decided to send its players to the Olympics in Beijing in February. So, and there's an out clause because of COVID, of course.
Sure.
But right now, they're planning to send the players, and that's kind of a cool thing. I like the NHL players in the Olympics.
Did you happen to see the highlights from – they had the finest and the bravest hockey game? They didn't have it last year, but they have that New York firefighters play.
I saw some of the highlights. They've gotten fights.
Duking it out.
Yeah. Firemen and cops are going – they're like,
you know,
dropping
the gloves. Some of those guys can skate.
Absolutely. God. Absolutely.
And the stick handling was impressive. There were a lot of breakaways.
The goalies were a little slow.
They were. But, man, some of the backhand shots to get – was like, holy cow, they got some skill.
Yeah, I was impressed. And it sold out Madison Square Garden, you know, all the money's going to a lot of those 9/11 charities, and that's what we're doing at the Freedom Rally 2021. That's tomorrow night at the Ellison Place, which is exit 279 at I-75. We've got Larry McRae and Papa Kizga performing. Proceeds are going to the Michigan National Guard's veteran support grant, and that goes strictly to Michigan veterans.
That's great.
It goes for housing expenses and utility bills if they can't make them, or they will go ahead and find people to fix their housing. We have a lot of other veterans causes that will have booths at the Ellison Place. Tickets are $25 for normal folks. Keith would get in for $15 because he's a veteran. Or if you come in your first responders or utility stuff, like your EMS driver, if you come in your uniform, you get in for free.
Great.
Every ticket includes dinner. We've got a setup where you can buy a drink for a vet or a first responder. Budweiser put it together. You can pay it forward.
Right.
That's great.
Get a thirsty drink for a hero.
That's great.
And then the other cool thing that I've been working my butt off on, no kudos to me because it's all going, but we've got some great rock and roll memorabilia,
incredible
auction stuff. Personally signed Bob Seger guitar that he'll make it out to whoever wins auction. Joe Bonamassa and Larry McRae signed Gibson guitar that Gibson gave them.
Wow.
We've got an album signed by Greta Van Fleet. This hat from Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And Ted Nugent just sent me this Come Take My Cannon. It's like the Don't Mess With Texas flag signed by Ted Nugent, and a picture with him and Donald Trump that is signed.
So there's
every
some good stuff
single
there.
Dollar that is raised on that auction is going to the vets. So
thanks.
If you don't have anything
that
to do on Saturday, we'd love to see you out there. You can go to ironpigsmoke.com right now and buy your tickets in advance. You save $5 at the door. So sorry for that shameless plug, guys.
No, that's not shameless. It's important stuff, JC. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, Freedom Rally 2021.
I heard you talking about it on the way in on Northern Focus with Ian Murphy, and great job selling it. You guys are going to – it's going to be an awesome
event. We want to have a great day. The weather looks good. We've got Golfapalooza out front. You can win 9 holes of free golf at Gaylord Country. So many things. It's nuts. So, and you can bring your kids. 12 and under are free. We got bounce houses, and they get fed. So if you don't have a babysitter,
right,
there you go.
Bring them along.
All right. Rich, we've got our pigskin preview.
Yes, we do, JC. And we got into it a little bit with James Cook from the Record Eagle, but absolutely the game of the week's got to be TC West traveling down to Cadillac. Both teams 2-0. It's going to be a great game for football. You and I talked about it a little bit. Coach Cody Mallory, he's really chomping at the bit. He doesn't quite have the next game playing Central. So,
Harrison, are you there?
Hey, guys, I'm here. How's it going?
Good morning. Welcome to our it's a great name, Pigskin Preview Program. Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports is with us. Harrison, how are you today?
I'm good, brother. Hey, don't beat yourself up. Three P's in a row is it's not an easy task for a Friday morning.
Perky percolation. We already talked to James Cook from Record Eagle Sports. Is your game of the week the TC West Cadillac game as well?
You know, obviously next week is going to be the big one at Thurlby with West and Central. So we try and feature other games as best we can to not always make it about the Traverse City schools. But, I mean, with a week like this, with West start, and the way Cadillac's coming off a year ago and looking great this year as well, it's tough to ignore the impact that game is going to have just in the Big North Conference and maybe across the state in general. So, yeah, we're kind of honing in on that one as well. And being at the Vikings Stadium, I mean, that adds some intrigue to it. You really feel like if this is going to be the year that Cadillac really makes a name for itself, it has to kind of get by one of those Traverse City schools this year, and it's got its first opportunity tonight.
Yeah, Harrison, I watched you late last night. I don't know if that was live you're doing your segment or if that was just the magic of television, and you taped it earlier, but after the Patriots game. So also a real interesting matchup as well is Kingsley's got to make that long trek across the mighty Mackinac Bridge and take on Sault Ste. Marie.
That's right, and the Sioux has looked like a pretty good program the last few years. So that's not going to be an easy task for Tim Ward's team, but I think we've all seen what they've done the first 2 weeks. So if I'm Sault Ste. Marie, I better be ready for one of the best ball clubs in the state in Division Five to be coming up to my place. And, you know, obviously Sioux's a little bit bigger of a school. I think they're a D4 program. I think they've played Cadillac in the last few postseasons. But it should be a good one, and, yeah, that'll help clear the way to see who St. Francis will have to beat first as far as a conference title is concerned.
Right.
That's a combined team now. The Catholic school from the Sioux is now part of the Sault Ste. Marie High School. And, you know, at one point in time, both of those programs were pretty good.
Yes.
But their numbers were running down. Sioux, the Catholic school, didn't want to go eight-man. So they've combined forces and managed to keep that program pretty relevant, Rich.
For sure. And both of these teams, Harris and Kingsley, they've outscored their opponents in their first two games 102-8, and Sault Ste. Marie is yet to be scored on. They were up 79-0.
I'm gonna guess that number is gonna give in a couple hours here, just based on me seeing both of Kingsley's games so far this season. But I haven't seen the Sioux yet, so maybe they're out to surprise us all here in week three.
But I'm with you. That Kingsley team looks really tough to start the year. What they did to Glen Lake and how they then the team they had coming back from a really good team last year and the kind of coach that Tim Wooer is, that's a team to be reckoned with, no question, Harrison.
Yeah, and I mean that's just another one of the many good games that's on tap. You know, I'm circling a Boyne City Glen Lake game that's got a lot of intrigue to it. You got a Boyne City team coming off a monumental rivalry win over Charlevoix last Friday night. And now they get that same Glen Lake team that just lost to Kingsley. So the real question is, what kind of Laker football team are we going to see tonight in that game? Obviously, Boyne City would be a huge win for them to jump back in the division championship race in that NMFL tier. But going up to Boyne City, those guys are fast. Bobby Holtz is the real deal at running back, and he put it on display against the Raiders last week, and that's going to be another tough offense for the Lakers to stop.
Yeah, that's an interesting – a couple of other games real quick. Gaylord, that's going to be a tough one. They got to take on TC Central, and Gaylord certainly coming off their first win against Saginaw.
I'm assuming that's in Gaylord.
That's at Thurlby.
Really?
Yeah, Thurlby. Wow. Gaylord's, I think, hoping that maybe they're going to get overlooked a little bit, that Central might be looking past them for the Patriot game next week.
They better hope that.
I mean, that's always a factor for sure, and that's, you know, probably what Cadillac's hoping to get, a little of West, not concentrating so much on them, but what they got to do next week. I think with both these teams, well, all three of these teams, if you want to factor in West, Central, and Cadillac, they all three believe that they have a chance to win the conference title this year. So I think that it's safe to say they're going to be honing in on the opponent they have. And maybe Gaylord will throw us a wild card, too. We obviously saw Central took a little bit to pull away from Marquette last week. So maybe if we see that same start to a game this week, Coach Eric Sugars will have to reassess, you know, certain things with the Trojans and how they attack the start of ball games. But we'll have to see. Yeah, Gaylord's coming off that momentum. We touched on that last week on the show here, and excited to see how the Blue Devils look to push on that. And shout out to Petoskey as well. We haven't talked about them yet, but the Northmen are 2-0 to start the year. And maybe they'll have something to say about this big North Conference race before it's all said and done.
Who does Petoskey have?
We have Alpena.
Oh, okay.
And it's at Petoskey.
All right.
So at that beautiful stadium up there to the northwest.
Hey, Harrison.
Yeah, have you guys been to that stadium? That is a wonderful stadium.
I haven't been there personally. I've seen a ton of photos of it. We do get to travel there this year. I'm really looking forward to it.
No, it's a great stadium.
Thurlby's one of a kind, but Northman Stadium, I think, is right up there as far as phenomenal football facilities.
Harbor Springs overlooking the bay is pretty nice, too.
That stands built right into the hill.
Oh, yeah, I love Harbor Springs Field, too.
In the fall, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Yeah, there's you still realize that you're in beautiful northern Michigan, regardless of what's going on the field.
Right.
All right, Harrison, anything else to alert our listeners for your big broadcast coming up tonight?
Another good matchup we're looking at tonight, and it's in the eight-man ranks, is Marion and Bear Lake. Marion's been kind of a good eight-player program the last few years here. I think they made the state semifinals a year ago, and Bear Lake just broke off from Onekaba about 4 or 5 years ago to create their own football program for the first time ever, and I believe this is the first time they've started a season 2-0. So a lot of good things going for those people in Bear Lake that are looking to advance that football program, and they're getting a good test tonight. 2-0 teams going at it in that matchup. I think I'm going to stop by and catch the second half highlights of that one, and excited to see how that looks as far as our eight-man teams are concerned.
Oh, very good. Where's your first assignment tonight?
I'm going to start because my good buddy Mark Chalette's going to be down at the Cadillac TC West game. I'm actually heading down to the fifth oldest rivalry in the state, the Manistee-Ludington game. They've played each other.
Wow.
First time was in like the late 1800s. You can look all the stats up on MHSAA. It's one of the longest-running rivalries for high school football in the state. And, they're going at it again, Manistee and Ludington. You would never guess Manistee and Ludington would be the longest-running football rivalry, but the proof is in the statistics. And, those two are going at it again this year, and it was an exciting finish a year ago. So we'll start in Manistee and make our way back up north through the Bear Lake region, and have a lot of good stuff on tap tonight. You know, it's cool to have everything on Friday night, although last night we had one Highland Conference game that I went to with Man and Lake City. So we did, in a weird way, start week three already, but excited for the more fireworks to show up tonight and really see where the dominoes fall. You know, it's hard to believe after this week we're going to be a third of the way through the regular season.
Yeah.
So, I know last year, obviously, the regular season was real quick with COVID, but here we are already flying through 2021.
There you go. So catch all of that in review tonight at 11:20 or so. Is that right, Harrison?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, if you want to join a little early, that's not bad either.
Oh, who cares about the news and the weather? It's all about high school football, baby.
I know. I just don't want Joe Charlevoix to hear this and think, hey, here, where was my promotion?
Tell Charlevoix, JC said, shut up. It's high school football. We want to know what weather conditions are going to be like, and that's it.
I don't want to create a rivalry between the sports and weather department, but I think you just started it right there.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm an Anchorman fan.
I'll smooth it out here, Harrison. Joe Charlotte did a great job. He's providing us great weather for this Friday night.
Exactly. Yeah, we can't complain yet. We've had some rough storms in the week, but Friday so far have been pretty good.
All right, Harrison Beebe from 7-4 Sports. Thanks for joining us here on the Pigskin Preview.
Yep. Talk to you guys next week.
See you, bud.
There you go. He does a great job.
Oh, he does. Yeah absolutely. Again, I stayed up and watched him last night after the, of course, NBC had the football game on television. So, and again, I think he was probably taped, but that's what you do in television at times when you have late broadcasts so you can get some sleep to get up early and join our radio show.
We didn't mention the Grayling Vikings traveling.
I think they host Sheboygan tonight.
Okay. So for you high school football fans that can't make it to the game, if you can't make that drive down to Cadillac for the big TC West Cadillac Viking football game, then that is available to be heard on 106.3 FM. Kickoffs are all at 7 o'clock, finally. And for the Viking-Sheboygan game, that will be over on our sister station, 100.3, home of all Grayling Viking sports. So we try to make it a little bit easier for fans to enjoy the games if they can't make it for whatever reason.
Right. Lots of different avenues for them to enjoy football, for sure, Jason.
All right. So you and Tom have a great call tonight.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a great evening. And heading down to Cadillac again, I said, I mean, that stadium's phenomenal the way it just overlooks the lake. It's a great venue.
And then Rich will be here with me on the boards tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. For the high school scoreboard show, which is brought to us by Bill Marsh.
That's right. We appreciate their partnership.
Better start texting those coaches right now.
Exactly.
All right, that'll do it for us on Friday Faceoff of the Pigskin Preview. Back to your normally scheduled CBS Sports. Thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino for hosting.